Please read with me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There are many parts of the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, that thrill me, and one of them is the singing of this verse. As if there stands a man above all of human history who says to a world, regardless of their convictions and difficulties, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When it comes to communicating, for the most part, a communicator needs to center his message in the person who is listening to him. So that as you are listening tonight, you need to understand, you would need to be able to grasp that somehow you are at the center of what is being said. When we preach the gospel, we are preaching a message that centers outside of you, outside of me. The message centers in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the focal point of the message that we preach. This Jesus, this inviting Christ that we have read about tonight, it is the center of our message. He is the heart of all that we have to proclaim. In fact, tonight, it may be a different way of looking at things than you have been used to. But I want you to know that this lowly Jesus, and in the verses that follow this, he says, I am meek and lowly. This lowly Jesus is the center of all history. We are used to thinking of this world. It's almost as if matter is eternal. It's always been here, and there have always been people here. That almost seems the way we think. We're not sure which way history is going. It seems to be just bouncing around like a ball. At random, it seems to be making progress. Could I tell you tonight that this world wouldn't be if it were not for Jesus? The only reason for this world is it is a theater for him. It is a stage that is designed to present him. And all of history is designed around him. Not only is it true that time is marked out with B.C., before Christ, and Anno Domini, after Christ, the year of our Lord, but all of history until he came was pointing forward to him. And all of history that is yet to be is going to be fulfilled by him. We believe that there is coming a world ruler. We believe that history is not a random sequence of events. We believe that Jesus of Nazareth is one day coming back to this world. We believe that this world is one day going to be brought to the feet of Jesus of Nazareth. And we believe that this world is one day going to acknowledge a righteous king who was once crowned with thorns in Jerusalem. And he's coming back to Jerusalem to reign, from Jerusalem to every remote island of this world. He is the center, the focal point of all of history. Underlying that, he is the focal point of all prophecy. We have been reminded tonight of the Word of God. And could I tell you tonight that from beginning to end, this book is a united book. This book is not the product of a variety of men's ideas, although there may be as many as 40 authors of the writings of this book, and their time period of writing stretches over a period of more than 2,000 years. And as these men wrote, they came from different backgrounds with different educational levels and different pursuits. But these men all wrote about Christ. He is the central theme of what the Bible is all about. And from when sin came into this world in Genesis chapter 3, and God promised there would come a deliverer from sin, until the last book of our Bible, this book is all about Christ. One of the things that thrills us is this. This unchangeable word of which you have been hearing tonight is totally reliable. It told in ages past where he would be born. It told essentially when he would come. It told of the character and family from which he would be born. It told that he would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It told that he would die. It told that he would die with his hands pierced and his feet pierced. And when that was written, it was totally misunderstood. How could that possibly be? He is the center of all prophecy. All that the prophet said was fulfilled. When he came, when he died, when he bore sins upon the cross, when he rose from the dead. But there is prophecy in the Word of God about the day when he will come again. And let me tell you just this much. That our world today is looking for an answer. Some solutions to the economic problems, the environmental issues, the social issues. There has got to be some answer to all of this. And I suppose you have seen it somewhere. And maybe you've seen the wag, I think that's the best thing to call him, who put another question underneath it. Because the statement I'm sure you've seen is, Jesus is the answer, and someone put underneath it, that's the question. Whatever the question, I want you to know tonight, Jesus is the answer. And he alone is the answer to all the problems of the world in which we are living. Political, social, moral. And you have been reminded already tonight that that coming must be very soon. We have not been given the authority to tell you when that coming will be. We have the Word of God to tell us what will be when he comes. And I can tell you tonight that history looks very much today like what it will look when he does come. Things are ready. And soon the Lord Jesus will come. This one who is the focal point of all prophecy is soon to come. But he is the focal point of all our preaching. We are not preaching a religion tonight. It is wonderful to see visitors with us this evening, and we welcome you again. Thank you for coming. I suppose sometimes when people come to a gathering like this, they come with the idea, I wonder what is the teaching of these people that are here for this weekend? Our teaching is not ours. Our message is Christ. And what we are preaching tonight is what the apostles preached. I was enjoying noticing this, and I have mentioned it already today, that when they spoke their message, they preached Jesus. They preached Christ. They spoke the Lord Jesus to men and women. Our whole message is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we are presenting tonight is a salvation, is a blessing, is an eternal deliverance that is all found in a person. And as simply as I can tell you tonight, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You could leave this meeting tonight better educated as to what we believe. You may even learn some things about the Bible from being here tonight. But if you leave without Christ as your personal Savior, you leave without eternal life, you leave without any hope for the future, you leave without salvation. And if you miss a great deal of what we may say, but you leave this meeting with Christ, you will leave this meeting tonight with salvation. You will leave this meeting with everlasting life. You will leave this meeting with rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I would love tonight, just at this point of the meeting, to lift your thinking beyond what men have to say, to lift your thinking beyond what your friends who have brought you tonight have told you, And to have you face to face with this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who stands with outstretched hands, entreating you this evening, and have you realize you are doing business with the eternal Son of God. And what you need tonight is not religion. What you need tonight is not some emotion. What you need tonight is grace. Do you have him? Oh, you say, I've known about him all my life. Do you have him? Well, I have believed about him. And I certainly feel good about him. Do you have him? Not feeling. Is he your own? Have you received him personally by faith? He is the focal point of our whole meeting, Lord. This text deals with the frustrating problems that men face. Listen to the Lord Jesus, and let me tell you tonight that he is not appealing to some narrow class. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden. The laboring, the heavy labor. All ye that labor, and are heavy laden. Can I tell you tonight that that's the embrace of every man, woman, boy, or girl in this world? When people come to meetings like this, they come with pressing problems. Perhaps it's a marital problem. Perhaps it's an emotional problem, financial problems, whatever it is. People come with all kinds of problems and all kinds of concerns. But could I tell you tonight that the basic fundamental concern of every human being is a spiritual concern? The biggest problems of your life are not economic. The biggest issues with which you deal in your life are your relationship with God, spiritual problems. God has made every one of us for something better than earning loonies. Having meetings out in New Brunswick, swimmers meetings, and I was with Mr. Ramsey. He loved children. And I was at the back, I think I was busy doing something. And Mr. Ramsey was speaking to the children, and he had asked a question, I knew that much. And I wasn't following what was happening, and all of a sudden it was silent, and then Mr. Ramsey was just laughing. And he was having trouble getting a control of himself. I found out that he had asked the question, why has God put men on earth? And one of the boys said, God has put men on earth to tame horses. I guess it just struck him so funny. Such a strange thing. What would life be all about? But that's what the whole thought about. God has put you and me on earth to have a relationship with him. And nothing else in this world is right until that relationship is right. And when that relationship is right, then everything else can be ordered. Tonight, let me ask you, what about your relationship with God? What about a sense that you have that relationship, that sense of community, that sense of relating to the God of eternity? What about that sense that you are right, that you are accepted with that God? What about the sense that God will one day accept you into his home? Well, you say, I feel like that's all right. Wait a minute, there must be something better than feeling that it's all right. I hope it's all right, but there must be something better than hoping that it's all right. The Lord Jesus says, here's the basic problem with men and women. They are laboring. Because there is innate in every human being this sense, there is something wrong between me and God. Something has to be done to make this relationship right. I was fascinated by incidents recorded in John Richardson's book, Eternity in Their Hearts. He tells stories of various missionaries that have gone to places where the gospel has not reached before. And what he is dealing with is what he calls residual witness, an evidence that at some time in their prior history, they had heard the truth from the Bible. He told about a man rejected by all other societies to go and missionary work on his own up to the Andes into a wild tribe of Indians called the Mutilones. And when he got there, it was very difficult for him at the hazard of his life, obviously. Very difficult for him to communicate with them. And one day he noticed when a person had died from that tribe, one of the family members bowing down by a hole in the ground and beating the ground and wailing and crying for this mysterious one to come out of the ground. Not crying for the loved one to come out, but crying for this one from their tradition to come out of the ground. There is something more that has got to be done. There are unanswered questions. There's something incomplete. Longing for an answer. Oh, what a thrill it was to him to be able to communicate to that tribe that the one they were praying to come out of the ground was none less than God's eternal Son who had died. And 1900 years ago, on the appointed day, the third day of resurrection, he came out from the ground. And there is open death because he lived. Slavery. Well, you say that's rather primitive. Well, then let me bring you to sophisticated Toronto and tell you tonight that all over Toronto there are men and women that are laboring. They have gone today to some place of worship. They have dug deep into their pockets, and the closer they get to the end of life, the deeper they dig into their pockets, laboring to find some answer, to find some way of making a solution for this great problem of a relationship with God. How is it possible to meet the need? How is it possible to do what has to be done? Something needs to be done. And on this weekend, worldwide, there was a picture in the paper here locally last night, and worldwide there are people that have reenacted the crucifixion of Christ. And there are some that have actually beaten themselves with scourges. And there are others that have actually had themselves impaled on a cross. And their hope is that by doing that, it will somehow gain the favor of God. Because men have the idea that a relationship with God depends on something I do. Got to be a church member. Got to be baptized. Got to live a good life. Got to do this. Got to do that. There must be something. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, doing the very best you can, trying to somehow or other have a relationship with God, and are heavy laden." Because here is the plight in which man finds himself. He's never sure whether he's done enough. There is something that has to be done, but I don't know whether I've done enough. My, what an awful thing it must be to come to the end of life. Some people have the privilege of looking death in the face for a while. Some people never have that privilege. They go suddenly. What an awful thing it must be to come to the end of life and look death in the face. And then begin to look back and to wonder, oh no, have I done enough? Is everything taken care of? Are all those sins that I've committed in the past, are they all removed? Will God receive me? I hope that I've done enough. I hope that God will look with favor on me. Surely God will have mercy. And then they get themselves all propped up, and they think, surely everything is all right. And then suddenly another thought comes sweeping over them. And back they go to the struggle, laboring, heavy laden. Somehow it's not enough. Could I tell you tonight, to make it worse, let me tell you from the Word of God that what you have done is not enough. Let me tell you that what God says about the best you have done is this: that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I would like tonight, it might seem very unkind to you, I'd like tonight to take away every prop you have ever trusted in. None of your works are good enough for God. Nothing that has ever come from a human heart that God has labeled sinful is ever acceptable with a God who is holy. Nothing. Come unto me, all ye who know there must be something done to make a relationship with God. All ye who recognize I have not done enough, I cannot. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden,
I will give you rest. Let me tell you tonight about the faithful promise of our Lord Jesus. He and He alone is able to give rest. I'm leaning on what we have already heard tonight. Let me present to you again the wondrous truth in the words of the Lord Jesus. It is finished. Do you not see tonight how simple the message of salvation is? The message of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ? Here are men laboring. They know something needs to be done. They are innately conscious, I have not done enough. Turn away from all your own doing tonight to Calvary and hear once more the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. There's nothing you need to do. All the work that is required to remove sin, all the work that is required to make you accepted with the God whom you have offended with your sins, all of that is finished. Oh, there needs to be a tremendous work done to bring man from his sin acceptable into the presence of God. There needs to be a tremendous price paid for man to be bought back from the claims of sin and brought to God. Oh, the good news tonight is this. There is one alone who is able to do that because he laid down his life at Calvary. He can give you rest tonight. He can give you peace. Only because of what he has done at Calvary. Oh, what a privilege it is to speak the evangel of Jesus Christ. And to tell you tonight there's good news for you. Just where you are, laboring, heavy laden, longing to be right with God, never sure whether you have done enough. Tonight there is salvation and assurance through what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary's cross. I want to tell you tonight more than that of His compassion. I may have made a mistake by not reading the context of this verse. Let me just tell you the context of this verse. Matthew 11 is a critical point in Matthew's gospel. Because up to this point, the Lord Jesus has now been rejected. Whereunto shall I liken this generation? John the Baptist came to them and they said, we don't like that kind of preaching. And then the Lord Jesus came and they said, we don't like that kind of preaching either. John preached judgment, won't have that. The Lord Jesus preached grace, they said, we don't want that either. Rejected. The Lord Jesus then begins to speak about cities that were so privileged, like people in our gathering this evening. They had heard His word. They had seen every evidence of the reality of this Jesus. Oh, Chorazin, Bethsaida, thou art exalted with privilege. Thou shalt be cast down to hell. They turned away from the Lord Jesus. You know, they had something they thought was just as good. They had their own religion. They had their own way of doing things. And I'm looking over the gathering tonight, and I'm looking at young people that know very well that no religion is going to save you, and yet you've never come to Christ. You have been exalted with privilege. And just at the present moment, we could well lift the sorrowful, mournful word of the Lord Jesus. Woe unto you. Exalted with privilege. And yet you are slipping step by step down the road to eternal darkness and night. Here are cities for all their privilege. The Lord Jesus lived there. He performed His miracles there. And yet for all their privilege, they would be brought into the wrath of God. And I look over the gathering tonight and I wonder, there are some in this meeting greatly privileged. You've been prayed for before you were born. You have listened to enough gospel to evangelize a tribe. You have even spoken to others about the truth of the gospel that you have never personally received. I say, God forbid, is it possible there's a person like that in this meeting who will be in hell forever? Young man, you're far nearer to being in hell than you've ever realized.
you're in far greater danger of losing your soul than you are willing to face.
They rejected him. They have missed their privilege. And the wise and the prudent are passing by Christ. Do you not see the setting of all of this? A whole nation rejecting him. Cities in which he had done his miracles, passing him by. The great minds of men, the important no to Jesus. Then he says, come unto me. Are there individuals? Is there just one soul in Capernaum? Is there just one soul in Chorazin? Is there just one soul in the nation? Come unto me. The Lord Jesus, his heart breaking by the rejection of men, reaches his hand out with tender invitation. Is there some soul? Just one. And in the meeting tonight, let me ask on behalf of my Savior, is there some soul? Perhaps just one. And you'll turn away from the majority. You will flee from the coming wrath. As a simple child, you will respond to his word. Come unto me, all ye that labor. I have salvation for you. I have finished the work required for your eternal blessing. I have loved you. Would you be surprised tonight if the Lord Jesus just stood beside you and said, I have loved you. I went to Calvary's cross to suffer and die for your sins. Would you come to me? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I want you to see his commitment. You come. And he says, I will give you rest. People talk about making their peace with God. The Lord Jesus has done the work, and if you come to him, you will have peace with God. What a wonderful truth tonight. The Savior is committing himself to you. And he's saying, if you'll come to me in all your sin, if you'll come to me to trust me and the work that I have done at Calvary to put away sin, laboring and heavy laden, will you come to me tonight? I'll give you my word. You will have rest. One day, Peter, just as we were hearing already in the story about the Lord Jesus, Peter and the disciples were on the water, the Lord Jesus was coming to them, and the Lord Jesus said, it is I, and Peter said, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Just a minute, stop. Bid me come unto thee on the water. What tremendous faith. You mean to tell me, Peter, you think you're going to be able to walk on the water? You've never done that before, and nobody else has, but the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus simply said to him, come. And Peter steps over the side of the boat, and he puts his feet right down in the water, and he started to walk. And then he saw, this is impossible. Wait a minute, there's waves and this wind. This is terrible. There's no hope here. I'm going to sink. Let me ask you before I tell you the rest of the story, just in case you don't know it. Did Peter sing? Could Peter have sung? The Lord Jesus said to him, come. Peter, you just respond to my word and I'll take care of all the details. And Peter began to sink as he saw all the waves around him. And the Lord Jesus just reached out his hand. Struggling soul in the meeting tonight, you come. He's inviting you. You trust him. You just rest on what he says. He'll take care of all the details. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. There's no work for you to do. I have done it all. I will give you rest. What a night this would be in your life. She came to him. You know him. The greatest joy of my life is that I know the Lord Jesus. And you can know that joy tonight personally. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our Father, we ask thy blessing on thy word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the unchangeable word of God. We thank thee for the work that he finished at Calvary. And we thank thee for the promise of his presence. Soon one day we will be in his presence. We do trust, Lord, we will take to heaven with us some from this meeting tonight. We have come into this meeting without the Savior. Whatever else may have been in their mind or past, we pray tonight that there will be souls who will realize their need of him. And will tonight simply respond to his word, come and receive rest in him. Bless thy word, wherever spoken. Receive thanks for all thy goodness in this past weekend. What a wonderful privilege to be together. What a joy to look forward to heaven. We thank you for the Savior whose work at Calvary has made it all possible. And we ask for his sake tonight that souls will come to him and be saved for eternity. We ask giving thanks.